Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Joe. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with points and miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points, everybody. Today, we have a great episode that absolutely every traveler should listen to because we are going to get into all kinds of safety tips for travel. We're talking travel protections, what rights you have as a traveler, trip insurance, why you should have trip insurance, so much good stuff. And we have an expert. We are joined by our friend Lisa. She is online at chasingmemories.co. That's her Instagram handle. She is an expert in passenger rights, travel insurance, travel safety. She helps give travelers confidence and peace of mind. So she is here to bring the peace of mind to us, especially for there are times, even though I travel a lot, there are times when I'm a really nervous traveler. And there are definitely times when I have traveled and thought, I really feel like I should have some kind of insurance right now. So Lisa, you're going to get into all of it with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your family, and how you got into travel, travel insurance, all the things.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm a mom of three kids. I just got a new teenager. So she just turned 13. I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son who's in kindergarten. So I am still in the thick of kid life. But so before I had kids, I was a 6th grade teacher. I've now turned into a travel creator because before I taught, I grew up with a travel agent mom and I eventually realized like, hold on, I got a lot of knowledge that not everybody has and I can marry traveling and education. And so that's when I started my social media account. So kind of like you guys said, I call it, I specialize in the unsexy side of travel. Dealing with all of the logistics, the problem solving, figuring out your passenger rights, like all of that type of stuff. So, because I found as I started this that like nobody knows about it.
Right.
Yet when you need it, you need it.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, it's like complicated, confusing information. And so you kind of just need like a place to find it. And
yes.
Even I went hunting for it and I was like, you can't really find it. So that was a big motivation for me in starting my account is to help teach people about what they're entitled to. But then also yeah. I focus on things like passports and visas and how do you apply for those and new entry rules and all that type of stuff. So helping this with every so single step helpful. Of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's incredible because you can, we can all like learn this stuff on paper. If we're going over a new card, we might be like, oh, cool. It has this benefit and this benefit, but then you never need it until you do. And when you do, there's so many random pieces of knowledge floating around in your head and you're not sure where those connections happen. What do I really need right now? What do I do? What's my first step? So travelers have a lot more rights than they realize, especially when flying internationally. So let's start right at the top. Tell us what laws there are that protect us when we're flying.
Okay. So I love this question because this is one that people just don't know about. So the one big takeaway I want all of the listeners to walk away with is if it is a controllable issue, meaning like it's the airline's fault, it's mechanical, it's a staffing issue, things like that, you have rights. And especially if you're flying home from Europe, just pray for a delay. They have amazing passenger rights and it applies to anyone that is either traveling on a like EU airline or a UK airline, like even if you're going from the United States, but especially when you're coming home from Europe, any airline is held accountable. So if you have a delay that is 3 hours or more, they're working on switching that to 4, but they haven't approved that yet. They owe you up to 600 euros per passenger on top of rerouting you. So that's just like extra bonus money. That's happened to us twice. And So for my family, that's equaled about $3,500. And you guys know how it is on points and miles. Like we're already getting these trips like crazy cheap. And so both of those times it's happened to us, we've come home and we're like, we just made money.
Yeah, like, just made money.
Like getting more money back in our pocket than we even spent on the trip. So it is incredible, huge. And then of course you save that and you roll it into your next trip.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty sure Michelle, our friend jet setting with Johnson's, just got her payout and used it to book her accommodations, their Airbnb for their next trip. I'm pretty sure is what she told me. So that is so fun.
It's amazing. Yeah. So, and then even like travel within the US, different airlines have committed different things to the Department of Transportation. So we don't have, unfortunately, like blanket rules and things that we get in the US. I am hoping to work with the Department of Transportation to like move the needle on that. Ooh. That's my 2026 vision board. Yeah. But yeah, so some airlines, though, have made commitments. So some of them will cover hotels if it's overnight. They'll cover meals after 3 hours. Rarely will they give vouchers. Southwest has kind of been the only one that will give a voucher for a delay. But yeah, they'll definitely give you different things. And so I actually built out on my website, which is also my Instagram handle, chasingmemories.co. And I've built out this whole like travel mishap section so that you can understand like all your rights. Cause it depends on, are you delayed or are you canceled? Are you in the EU? Are you in the US? Like, so I've just broken it all down there so that everyone can know and see that. One thing for families, a lot of the airlines have committed to a family seating policy. And this is what drives me nuts. When you go to check out on an airline thing, there are so many pops up. Are you sure you don't want to buy your seat? Are you sure you're not going to sit with your travel companion? Like, it drives me nuts. And then some airlines you can find somewhere in a tiny little like asterisk at the bottom of their page, like, oh, we do have a family seating policy. But some airlines don't even have that on there. So that's super frustrating, but you do not, for most of these airlines, need to pay to sit by your children. So keep that in mind too. You can Google your family seating policy before you book it. And then I always advise just skip over all that. And as soon as you've booked your ticket, call the airline's like customer service and just say, hey, according to your family seating policy, I would like to get my family seated on this flight that I just booked. So.
That is so good to know. I actually came across that recently. I don't know if this is one of the airlines that is. Maybe you can tell me. I was booking an Allegiant flight, and I haven't flown Allegiant in years. This is a small budget airline. Usually I fly everywhere on points, so I don't do a lot of cash fares. But it was a last-minute trip. The tickets were about $38 a piece, but it's one of these airlines that tax on every little thing. So it's $38, but then there's a pop-up that asks you, do you want to add this? Do you want to add this? This is, and one of those is seating. Even if you only pay a dollar, I think one of the options was a dollar to choose your seat in some of the bad seats. And I was like, absolutely not. I refuse. But I was traveling with my preschooler and my son who was 12. And I thought, oh my goodness, should I, you feel the pressure. Mm-hmm. Should I do this? Do I need to do this to make sure that we're sitting together? And I just refused. So I didn't pay for anything. And then I was pleasantly surprised when we were together, but I was kind of willing to deal with it. Even if we weren't, I was going to do whatever I needed to do at that moment to make it happen. But I didn't want to do it up front. So is that, do you know, is Allegiant have this policy or I just lucked out?
Frontier is the only budget airline that does have the policy. And you have to keep in mind too, the policy is just it for all of them. It's we'll do our best and it's when available. So especially if it's like a last minute flight, or if you didn't call right away when you booked, you still might kind of wind up in that. But I know the gate agents do everything that they can to try to help people out, but man, does that get heated on social media. Whenever I post about family seating, I get so many haters of like, you should have to pay for your kids. And yeah.
I don't know. We won't even get into that, but people do be hating on some kids. I don't know what people have against children traveling the world. But before we move on, I want to clarify one thing that you said earlier, just to make sure that it is, that I have it right in my head. You said if you're flying back from the EU, you do not have to be on a European carrier to get that money if it's delayed more than 3 hours. So I could be flying back on American Airlines, but if I'm coming from the EU, it would still qualify for that. I just want to confirm.
Yep. Yeah, awesome. Exactly. So it's any of the UK countries or it's any of the countries that are in the EU. So there are some European countries that are not, but it's any of those that are in the EU. And that is their regulation that they hold everybody accountable that's going in there. If you're coming in on American and you were delayed coming in, then that's on American. But even if you're on American and you have a connecting flight in Europe, if your European connecting flight is delayed, then you're, but it is distance based. So you get the most money when you are coming home because you're traveling. Mm-hmm. I think it's over 1500 kilometers is the, like the 600 euro mark.
So what's the first thing someone should do? So they learn that their flight is delayed. We want to make sure that we jump into action. I mean, is this something we have to file for? Is there a form? Like, how do we know what steps to take when this happens?
So when this particular thing happens, the EU actually is pretty good about having, like, when you go to check in on an EU flight, it will typically do a little pop-up. They also do have things that, like, they have information. I've actually had in the EU, the gate agents give me the document and say, here's your rights, like, understand it. Wow. I feel like in America, we don't do that. But yeah, so you do have to file it online, but you can, some of these countries, every country is a little different. Every country has at least 1 year that you can go back and retroactively get this compensation. Wow. Some countries you can retroactively do it back to 10 years. So if you can remember, and if you can find like your flight number or something, even from 10 years ago, you could.
10 years is wild. That's a long time.
I can't remember what I did yesterday. So I feel like that's not an option.
I can find the documentation. But for all other like flight issues, I would recommend the very first thing that you do, get in line. Because we all know those lines get super big, super fast. So get in line. Then go to my website because I have every scenario broken down, but I not only give, so I give the definition of like, what is a controllable delay, things like that. Then I also list out everybody's rights. And then I also say, hey, here are things that you can say to your gate agent. Here's things that you can ask for, or search Google flights to find the route that you think is best for your family to get home, things like that. But always get in line first because, yeah, that's going to take a while. You can also call the airline while you're standing in line and be on hold with their customer service. I think it's the points guy that always talks about getting, like, you can even call the international help desk for the airline, and that typically will get you through faster because everybody's calling the US one.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like I'm going to be saving your website as like a bookmark on my home screen. So it's going to look like a little app. So I can just, when is the app coming out? I feel like that's the next step for you. You just need a Know Your Rights app.
I know. I do. I do need an app. I have thought of making like a little like hotel key card type thing that you can like the size of a credit card that you can just slide in your wallet. And then have like a little QR code on there that just jumps to all of my info. And that might be my next thing.
I really think that's so great because I am truly booking your website because bookmarking it. In the moment, you just go blank. Even as someone who does this podcast, who talks about travel all the time, in the moment when my kids are here and they're you know, driving me crazy, or they're overtired, or they're hungry, and we're in the airport and we're delayed. You know, your mind just goes blank sometimes in those moments. And so I love that your website breaks it down so easily. Okay, what about luggage? Over the years, we have learned that there are so many cool things out there, like Delta's 20-minute baggage rule. If your bags don't make it on the carousel within 20 minutes of your Delta flight, you know, getting to the gate, you can get 2,500 sky miles per bag. So talk to us about other travelers' rights when it comes to luggage being delayed or lost. What expenses can we actually claim? We talk a lot, you know, about travel credit cards, and most of them do have some kind of lost luggage insurance. Talk us through the luggage situation.
Yes, I love the luggage situation. My girls, who are tweens and teens, they actually hope that their bags get lost because they understand how good of rights we have. Now, this is one that's like, it's pretty solid. Like, it's a federal regulation. And then there's an international regulation that covers like pretty much any country that like we would mainly travel to. So if you have a delayed or lost baggage, now lost baggage, like they don't technically consider it lost until it's like 6 weeks. Like,
oh my.
It's a big amount. Yeah. But if you have a reasonable delay, which every airline's a little different, but it's like at least a couple of hours, you can get up to $3,800 in reimbursement for reasonable expenses in the US. And then international delays, you can get up to $1,700. So I actually had a bag that got delayed. I was flying and wound up like having this crazy connection. I had to switch to a last minute flight in order to just get to my destination. And I could track my bag and I was like, it's not going to make it. And so I could tell at my next layover, I'm not going to make it. So I was like, you know what? I preach about this all the time. I haven't had a situation where I have to use it. I'm going to go big or go home.
Yeah.
So I sat at the layover and I ordered online where I could do like a pickup order. I spent about $600 on clothes, on makeup, on toiletries, and new pair of shoes. Like, cause I was gonna, like, I wound up then having an overnight issue. I had to have this whole, like, and I needed to, like, hit the ground running. So I'm like, I need new makeup. I do need a dress. I do need shoes. I do need toiletries. And I needed all of this stuff. And so I did all of that. I arrived. I just had my Uber take me and pick me up, like my online orders real quick. And I submitted for reimbursement thinking, are they really going to do this?
Yeah, that's
scary.
They
reimbursed me the $600, all of it. No questions asked. So, and I did in my email explain like, hey, I was headed to an event. I needed to be presentable because they do have that for reasonable expenses. So I can't go out and be like, okay, well, hey, I need a whole set of golf clubs or
a bag
or, you know, so, but you definitely
did you buy a suitcase?
I did not.
Oh.
Yeah. I think because I was going to be there for about 4 or 5 days. So, and they felt confident that it was going to be on the next flight.
Because
if you do have lost luggage or delayed luggage, you do have to go into customer service and you have to file a claim right away. So even though I could see on the app, I still looked at the carousel. Then I went straight into the office and said, hey, it's not there. The sad thing was the airline, because I said, hey, what do I do when I need to get reimbursement for the things that I need to purchase because I don't have my bag? And she's like, well, like toiletries? And I was like, yeah, toiletries, you know, other things that I need for today. And she's like, well, hold on. And she went in the back and she got this teeny tiny little toiletry kit that had like nothing in it. And I was just like, okay, but what about the things I need to purchase? And she's like, we don't do that. And then that's where I had to whip out my, well, I understand that my passenger rights entitle me to up to $3,800. I'm not saying I'm going to purchase that much, but I know I have that right. So what do I do then? And she literally was like, ugh. and like pulled out the form and she's like, here, you fill out this form and email.
So she knew exactly. She had the form handy.
Crazy that she said, we don't do that. Well, knowing the form is like, it's literally like those Instagram videos that you see where people do skits talking to themselves and then they're like, oh, how do you know this? And then the person's like, I learned from blah, 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 follow them. Like, I didn't know that that happens in real life. People are annoyed that you know your rights.
Yeah. And I think the airlines just think, I mean, because really, like, they're on the line for a lot of money. Think how many bags get delayed every day. If everybody knew that, which, I mean, this is my mission to make sure everybody knows that, they have a lot of money. So, yeah. And, okay, here's a fun fact. Did you know that you can DoorDash clothing, shoes, Ulta, Sephora, you can DoorDash all of that stuff to your hotel.
And they'll refund that, too. Like with the tip and all of that?
Yeah, I don't see why not. You can just say, hey, I didn't have access to getting there.
Oh my gosh. So you can do this with any airline. Doesn't matter who you're flying. Your bag is delayed, a reasonable delay, and you just find their customer service and ask for this form and let them know that you know your rights.
Yep, because this is one area that it is a required regulation.
Wow. How many hours did you say is a reasonable delay?
That can kind of be interpreted by the airline. Okay. And so some airlines will spell it out. My bag was delayed like 6 hours. And so, but yeah.
You need what you need.
Exactly. So
this is totally independent of the credit cards. Like the Amex Gold, I'm pretty sure is one that has pretty good protection. Maybe it's up to 600 or something like that. It seems like it's probably easier to take it up with Amex than the airlines if they don't want you to know about it, but you get more, you have potential for more reimbursement with the airlines.
Correct. Yes. Okay. And that's where you could submit for Amex first if you don't want to deal with the airline. But in reality, I just think the airlines know this is a federal regulation and they get in trouble with the Department of Transportation. Like you can file a report against them if they don't reimburse it. So that's where I think you need to make sure that you can justify your reasonable expenses. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can justify those expenses, like you said, you need what you need when you're on the thing. So, and because this is so hefty, you also have to look at the credit cards because the credit cards will say like, oh, up to, I know Capital One does $500, but it is $100 per day. Up to 5 days, which is $500. So you can blow through $100 so fast. The way I pack like one packing cube is an outfit for the day for my entire family. So if I lose a whole suitcase, I lose clothes for my whole family. And so that winds up making me, I'm going to spend way more than $100 trying to get new outfit for all of us than if it was just for me. But yeah, so the credit cards, even travel insurance, I'm like, don't focus on those first. Focus on getting what you need and making the airline pay for it.
Is it weird that this makes me want to rethink my carry-on only thing just because I kind of want to try it out? Like I want to test it.
Everyone is carry on only. And I am the one over here preaching, check it. So we have certain things we don't check. Like when we're coming home, our souvenir bag, it stays with us because we can't, we can't get those things again. But man, that's my girls. They're like, if we can check for free, they are literally like crossing their fingers that their bag does not come off.
Mary Ellen, I think we should check our bags for Vienna. Maybe we can go shopping in Vienna.
It has been a long time since I checked a bag, a long time, which I know is just silly. I mean, Janelle on a jet, who has been a guest on the show, she talks about how she'll check a reusable grocery bag on a Delta flight just so that she can get the 2,500 miles when it's more than 20 minutes late. So I know people definitely, the ones who know the rules definitely use these rules and take advantage of what they're owed. So Okay, so switching gears just a little bit from the luggage. This one, I feel personally convicted that I have not done this. Medical travel insurance. We had a situation last year, well, in January, not even quite a year ago, about a year ago exactly. My daughter was in the Bahamas, and this is my preschool toddler-age daughter, which is a little young for appendicitis, but she kept holding her side and just kind of yelling out in pain, and I could tell she was guarding, and I was freaking out for a while that she has appendicitis. Oh my goodness, we are going to be ending up at a hospital in the Bahamas. We do not have medical travel insurance for this trip. I was really panicking a little bit. I was looking online, what can I buy last minute? What if I buy it right now? Will it work within 24 hours? Talk to me about this, because I definitely I feel like screwed this up, and it scared me enough that I thought, I can't be doing this. When my family goes out of the country, we really need some kind of medical insurance.
When I was in England, I got a spider bite, and it kept growing and growing and growing our whole England trip. It was getting really purple. The center was starting to hollow out. It was looking really gross. And I was like trying to figure out if my health insurance would cover anything here and how much it was going to cost. And if there were like urgent cares, I was like, what do I do? Literally, what do I do? And thankfully, it turned a corner and started fading backwards. But for those first like 4 days, I was like, I'm going to die in England from a spider bite. It was scary.
Yeah. So this is actually exactly how I got super passionate about this. I heard my mom, my travel agent mom, preaching to everyone from day one about travel insurance. She preached it to me. But on our first international flight as a family in 2017, we thought we did all the right things. Before we left, we called our US health insurance and I said, hey, we are going to be abroad. We want to make sure that we have coverage. Oh, absolutely. You just need to go to an ER and you'll be covered. So we're like, okay. In the end on that one, because England calls them ANE, accident and emergency, our insurance came back, sorry, you didn't go to an ER. And I was like, it is literally the same thing, just different words. But it's what we found. Their coding is so different. And the insurance wants to deny it. So it's the coding. And so they denied us. We had booked on a credit card that we're like, oh, our credit card has travel insurance. We'll be good. Like, we literally thought that we were checking all of the boxes to do this right. So we were like, we don't need to buy a separate travel insurance policy. We're covered. Well, it's day two of our trip, and my daughter, who was 3 at the time, falls off this tiny little ladder at the playground and breaks her arm. Mm-hmm. And first off, like, and this is where I also preach in terms of travel safety, you need to have like written in the notes of your phone or somewhere that you can access it in an emergency, the emergency numbers. Because all I knew when she broke was that 911 is not the same there. I had no idea what it was. And thank heavens that it was like plenty of other London moms that could help me out. And we were all speaking English. But it's one of those moments that you panic. And if you don't have the knowledge like in your brain, it's hard to figure out what to do. And so, long story short, we wound up in the hospital, and overnight, our other thing was, oh, but we're in, you know, they have the national healthcare system. Nobody pays for healthcare here. No, that's not true. Travelers pay for healthcare. And when we went to leave, they sent in, like, I'm not even kidding. It was like, we refer to him as the big scary man. Like, they sent in this guy that was like, pay your bill. And we're like, well, we have insurance. And they're like, nope, we don't deal with your insurance. You pay your bill. And we're like, oh, and here we are like sweating it. And we're like, okay, like, how many credit cards can you take? Like, are we good? Like, thankfully, I say thankfully, it was only like a little over $5,000. Like, had she needed surgery, can you imagine what that bill would have been? Like, we were sweating it. So, of course, we felt like, oh my gosh, we're the worst parents ever. Yeah. So that was when we were like, never again will we not have travel insurance. So it's so important to have. And here's the thing, I've dug so deep into all of the credit cards. The credit cards mainly do not have medical coverage at all. The best one that I have found is the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And that one covers 2,500 of medical. So even in my situation, it would have only covered half. If you had a huge emergency, that's not even touching it. And then the other thing too, with a separate travel insurance policy, you're not only getting all of the medical, you're also getting a 24/7 helpline that you can call and get advice on, like, where's the best doctor to go to? Or, hey, I need an orthopedic surgeon, or how do I get translation? And they provide all of those services for you, so you don't have to think about it. And then you also get medical evacuation. If you need to have a medical flight, maybe you're like in the Bahamas. I don't know where you're going to get appendix surgery in the Bahamas. If you need a medical flight, they will fly you to another hospital, or they'll fly you home on a medical flight as well.
Okay. Well, my mind is spinning a little bit, because I think a lot of us here in this community are the same way. We're trying to spend the least. And so it can be very intimidating to imagine spending for a circumstance that almost probably will not happen. It can be really hard to like bite the bullet and do that. What are we talking about, like, ballpark in terms of cost? And are there any tricks that people can use to make a travel insurance policy cheaper but still have really good coverage that's going to jump in one of these broken arm circumstances or something worse, God forbid?
Absolutely. Yes. And this is, I'm also the same, where I'm like, I don't want to spend money. So how can I make this as cheap as possible? So I have partnered with two of the best travel insurance companies, and I've worked and talked with both of them of like, hey, how do I do this when I'm booking a flight on points? Like, and so I have learned even more and figured out that there is like the perfect trick. I don't want to call it a hack, but there's the perfect trick. The two things that drive the cost the most for travel insurance policies is your age, which obviously is not changeable, and your trip cost. Now, your trip cost is the non-refundable things. So things that you're going to lose money if you can't do it. So this is where I started thinking, well, wait a minute. In the points and miles world, I can get my points back. I can cancel things. Like, so I don't have a lot of money on the line. You don't want to say like, oh, well, when I'm there, I'm probably going to spend $500 on food. You haven't spent that. So it's only your non-refundable trip costs. Now, there is a component that you can say that your trip cost is $0. And even if you have paid for stuff, if you say your trip cost is $0, you get everything except trip cancellation or trip interruption. But here's where it's beautiful with the cards. There are cards that offer that.
Right.
So, for example, Chase Sapphire Preferred. That's the card we all have, right?
Yep.
That one will give you up to $10,000 per passenger, and it caps out at $20,000 per trip. But I know for me in points and miles, I'm not spending $20,000 on a trip.
No.
So you have to book on that card. So you have to pay for your trip on that card. Once you've done that, then you can get a travel insurance policy that's $0 trip cost. And then it's so much cheaper because the insurance company is not on the line for all of that money, but you get all of the medical, you get the medical evacuation, you get trip delay. So if you have it depends on which policy you get, but either 3, 6, or 12 hour delay, you get money there. You get, and my favorite company, they even do emergency evacuation for natural disasters. And when I'm traveling internationally, that, and for political unrest. So that puts my mind at ease so much. Like, we just recently went to Japan, and I was like, oh gosh, like, they have earthquakes, they have tsunamis. Like, and I was like, but you know what? I've got the right coverage. We'll be fine. Like, because literally, if we had a huge issue and they're evacuating the area, I call my 24/7 helpline. They arrange a flight for me and they pay to get me home. Like,
this is incredible. Can you give us, obviously everybody is going to be different, so this is not like a quote, but let's say your family of five is going to Europe for a week. You do the $0 trip total. What is kind of a rough ballpark of what you would be paying for that coverage for that trip?
So, okay, I'll give you an example. I just did one for a family of five going to Africa, which there I'm like, okay, I definitely want medical in Africa, taking children there. And because kids are free, even though they still get the like benefits, they're free. But so the parents were the only two that had to pay, and it was a total for their entire family of $78.
For the whole trip?
The whole trip, $78. And they were on like a 2 week, I think it was like 15 day African safari, and yeah, $78.
Why would anybody
mix me? I know, it makes you feel silly, and yet we're so hesitant to do it. But it seems like it absolutely is something. $78 is worth the peace of mind. Even those few nights of our Bahamas trip that I was panicked because I thought something is seriously wrong with her. I'm going to have to save myself that panic. $78 is truly a no-brainer. What's the timeline for this? How far out should you buy the insurance? What happens if you wait too long? Like if you forget and then it's the day before your trip, are you out of luck or could you still buy the travel insurance?
So you can technically buy it up until the day before your trip. Like the day before is your cutoff time. However, you have to remember that travel insurance covers unforeseen events. So if it's something that's known, it's too late. So you can't book a cruise and then right before the cruise, oh, now there's a hurricane in the path and you're worried about traveling. That hurricane is now known. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to be able to get coverage for it. Now, if you buy your travel insurance when you buy your cruise, don't buy it through the cruise line because those only cover things that happen on the cruise. And they don't cover like from the time you leave your home to the time you get back. But even if you're booking in hurricane season, you can still get coverage because a specific hurricane is not known yet. So everything has to be unforeseen. And then keeping that in mind, there's two things that are like timing relevant. If you want to purchase cancel for any reason, you must purchase that within 14 days of your first trip payment. You only get back up to 75% of your cost, but you can literally the week before be like, you know what? I'm not feeling it. I'm just going to cancel the whole trip. I want all my money back. And they'll give you 75% of your money back, but they will do that. The other one is, which actually not a lot of companies do cancel for any reason anymore. The other one that is time sensitive is a pre-existing condition waiver. So you, again, have to purchase within 14 days of getting your first payment for your trip. And that will give it, because if you have a medical issue, so say your preschooler did need to be hospitalized, they would have looked back at her medical records for the past, and each company varies. It can be anywhere from 2 months to 6 months. And they will look back at your medical history and be like, oh, but hold on, like, she had an issue beforehand, like appendicitis obviously isn't going to be it. But, and so that pre-existing condition waiver, like that is them saying, we won't do a look back. If you have any issue, we're not going to look back at your medical records at all. Now, again, you cannot say, oh, hey, I am finishing my cancer treatments and I'm going to book this trip for when I get into remission, because your cancer at the time is a known event. Like you have to be in remission before you could book a trip and get travel insurance.
Tell the audience what the benefit is of working with somebody like you rather than trying to go to the internet and figure out which company to book. Like how can people do that? And what is the advantage of using? Do you call yourself a travel insurance agent? Are you an agent? Are you a consultant? What is the title for this?
Yeah, I don't even know. It's officially travel insurance advisor. But I am partnered through two of the best companies and use their licenses so that I can sell travel insurance for all the states. Because each state is a little bit different based on what that state has determined to be insurance law. But I suggest coming to me instead of the internet, because the internet isn't going to tell you the zero trip cost, pair it with your credit card secret. Like, there's different things that, and it gets, like, I will admit, even for myself, it gets confusing. People don't understand what it means when they ask you, what's your trip cost? Like, they have little pop-up bubbles, but it's still, and depending on, I have one insurance company I heavily lean towards, but there are some times that I will like encourage someone like, hey, you might want to consider this one because, for example, there's one anytime that someone has like a teen that is going on a solo trip or study abroad or something like that, they will fly a loved one to their bedside if they are hospitalized for 48 hours abroad. So like, what mom is not going to go to their bedside if your kid gets hurt somewhere? And so then I'll say, hey, you might want to look in this into like, let's maybe do this company instead of this company. And my role is to give you all of the options so that you can make the choice that's best for your family and your specific trip. Sometimes, like when I'm in the States, like I'm not worried as much about the emergency evacuation for natural disaster, but I am when I'm international. So working directly with me just helps us to like figure out like, what do you need? What's most important to you, and get the right policy at the cheapest price.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love that. And I know that I'm going to be, I think I've learned my lesson. I hope I've learned my lesson. I don't want to make a massive mistake abroad that costs my family, you know, thousands of dollars when we're trying so hard to travel on points and miles and do all the budget things and do the right things. One trip abroad without medical insurance can just totally screw up your finances. Yeah.
You guys know I got hit by a bus in Germany when I was 14. And I don't This is a true story, but I don't think my family, like my family wasn't there. I was on a mission trip with the church and I was the only kid in that group. I don't know who paid that bill or what happened, because there must have been, I mean, I was in an ambulance and I don't know.
You know what I will say, because I go on medical mission trips with church a lot, and we always have the church, the group that we're going with, buys medical travel insurance for us. Usually they give me a little card when I show up and it's time to go, and they're like, here's your insurance for the trip. So group trips, I think a lot of times have stuff like that built in. But with my family, it's certainly not.
Right.
Let's talk about also just general, before we don't want to keep you forever. We're so thankful for you sharing your time with us. But let's talk about some general travel safety. Obviously, that's super important. Everyone who listens to the Wonderland on Points podcast, we're all big travelers. A lot of us are traveling with children. How can parents cultivate, you know, situational awareness in a way that feels empowering for our kids and not scare them, you know, that here we're going to another country. You know, if you just tell them all these things that could go wrong, you don't want them to be afraid of travel, but you do want them to be smart about it. So what are some, give us some last tips, safety tips.
Yes, I love it. So I get all of this information from my dad. My dad was the pro at teaching us safety and making it fun. So I grew up doing all of this stuff, and I give it to him that that's where I have all of this ingrained in me. But here's the thing with safety, whether it's travel or not, the way to keep yourself safest is muscle memory. Like you need to have the knowledge of what am I going to do before you even get into that situation. Because when we're talking about an unsafe situation, that's scary. And that is going to cause that like fight or flight response. And so having that muscle memory of, oh, I do this. Like, so what I encourage families, do stuff with your kids at home. Make it part of your everyday life and keep it fun. You also need to like add on travel stuff when you're traveling, but make it home, make it fun at home. Like if you're at a holiday market or something, like if you're somewhere, anywhere that you are, have your kids spot safe helpers. Like, hey, who would you get help from right now? Another one too, like I always send my kids to ask a question. So for example, in the grocery store, I'll be like, hey, it looks like there's an employee right there. Go and ask them how much this costs. And they will go and do that because I want them comfortable talking to strangers that are going to be safe people, because they need to be able to feel confident enough to do that if they're in a real life scenario. Another thing too, like this just happened yesterday. My daughter goes to the orthodontist and I pull up and I say, oh, hey, I got to grab my stuff. You run in and check in. And I can see her through the window, but I send her in to check in and I follow in a minute later. If they need anything from me, they can ask me then. But then she has that independent confidence. Absolutely. Of like, oh, I have to go and talk to someone. So I think starting at home is great. And then always remember the best classroom is the airport. It's amazing. Mm. Like, so we always get there a little bit earlier so that we can allow time for our kids to make mistakes. But from the moment we step foot at the airport, our kids are in charge. They have to go to the self kiosk, like the self check-in kiosk. They're the ones that figure out how to print the bag tag. They're the ones that figure out how to get our boarding pass. Like, there's always agents around those like self check-in things. They're the ones that go and ask the agent, hey, can we get help? Da, 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 da. Like, we make them be in charge. Even my kindergartner, he's in charge of finding the gate number. Like, my girls find it on the board. My son is the one that finds the number. But think about, so many airports have the trams. That's perfect conversations of like, hey, we're doing public transit. We have the rule when we're all flying, kids are always sandwiched between mom and like they're always sandwiched between mom and dad. If I'm just traveling with my kids, I am literally like right on top of them, ready to, and my belongings are going to be the last thing, right? Like, I'm going to make sure that I'm right on top of my kids and jumping off. But they also know, hey, if one of us gets separated on a train, it's you either stay put. If you're off the train, you stay put and you find a safe helper to help you, whether that's an employee or a mom with kids. We encourage that sometimes. Like, you find someone, you stay put. If you're on the train, you get off on the very next stop and you stay put. Yep. And so we are constantly talking about those things on a trip and saying, hey, just make sure you're right here by us. We even have like our kids will hang on to like our clothes. I'll hang on to their clothes, like something to just literally keep us together. But they need that muscle memory and they need the confidence that they can like know how to get themselves out of a jam.
Yeah. I mean, that confidence is so key. I absolutely love the idea of letting them run the show in the airport because mine's about to be 14 and we're going to Cabo in February. And I think I'm going to implement this. I'm going to be like, all right, you've been in airports before. Show me what to do. I feel like she might be a little overwhelmed at first, but I think it's such a good skill, especially if they're kids that are going to be travelers, like knowing how to navigate an airport in case anything goes wrong is so important. So this has all been so helpful today. I love this episode. I didn't know how much I needed all of this knowledge. Okay, before we wrap up, it seems like the structure of this is kind of the same as working with an insurance agent or working with a travel advisor. Like, there is no downside to people to come to you and to work with you, right? Like, the cost of what they are buying does not change. They just have the benefit of your incredible wealth of knowledge and kind of hand-holding them through it. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. And so it does not change the cost for anyone to work with me. I don't charge you to work with me. I do get a commission if you wind up booking insurance, but it doesn't, you're going to get the same cost. And in fact, I feel like I'm able to help you get it for cheaper than if you were just to fill out your thing on the internet. So
yeah,
that's why I would say do it through me. I'm cutting out my commission because I'd rather help you.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. I'm excited about my next trip with my kids because I feel like I'm going to, number one, have medical insurance so that I'm not panicked. And I also, you know, you've given me a lot to think about with how I can prepare my children for future travel. And I have to say, I feel proud of my kids. I'm looking back. I did have the situation that you mentioned with the train, the doors. We were hustling to a train. We thought it was the right train, but we had a brief moment where we weren't sure. Our two older children jumped on the train and the doors closed, could not be reopened. We had not prepared for that moment. And although I was panicked, I will say, a good part of me had such peace because I know my son. I know how much we traveled. I know that he has been on public transportation a lot. And I felt confident that he was going to be okay. And my daughter was with him. She's not as into transportation as him, but still they were together. And I did have such peace and confidence that it was going to be okay. So I think preparing our kids, traveling frequently and encountering, this is why travel is so amazing for kids. You learn so much more than you can learn. And I love school. My kids go to public school. I taught public school. So I'm not against school, but your kids learn so much when they're out in the real world, out traveling. And I just thank you for bringing up all those important points for us. And we appreciate you. Again, everybody, you can find Lisa online on Instagram at chasingmemories.co and also her website, bookmark it. And we hope that you guys will all join us next time.
Yeah, everything will be linked in the show notes, as always, guys, so you can find Lisa super, super easily. Is there anywhere else that people can find you that we missed or anything you want to leave people with before we say goodbye?
So you can, if you follow my Instagram account, I do a lot of the stuff on, teaching your kids in airports and the travel safety and all of that. And also I'm super passionate about this and I want to make sure that all teens are prepared for when they're on their own. So I'm even hosting an event. I'm going to hold it in Salt Lake City this year. That is going to be like a 1-day event, amazing race style, where we are teaching them how to use public transit, and it's going to be like a parent teen, like your parent teen team. And
this
then
is so fun.
Go from there to figure out, like, they'll have different challenges that make them get on, because Salt Lake actually has quite a few. They have a tram, they have a train, they have buses, like they've got pretty good landing ground for that. So yeah. So follow my account if you don't want
that
to
awesome. Miss any of that.
I want to get in on this, Lisa. This is amazing. Okay, everybody, make sure you're following Lisa. Head to the show notes where you can find all of the things, and we will see you here next time.
Hey, thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.